celebrate this holiday. And as they heard this sound, they gathered together to see what was going on. And as they did so, they each heard the disciples speaking of the mighty works of God in their own language. So God, on this day, he worked through the disciples in an amazing way. He did the impossible through them. God empowered them to speak in languages that they had never learned before. And in this way, Jews from all over the world were enabled to hear the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this fascinating. Because as I think, first of all, about the call that God had given to the early church, I'm sure that had to have felt a little bit intimidating to the early believers. It would be overwhelming to think that God wanted this small group of people. And we're not only talking about the 12 disciples, but we learn a little bit later on that there were about 120 believers at this point. But that God wanted these 120 people to take the gospel to the entire world. And this is especially true in a day and age where there was no radio, there was no TV, there were no cell phones, there were no internet connections, there were no other means of mass communications. And this is also true especially in a day where there were no planes, trains, and automobiles. You know, so if they were going to do what God called them to do, they were going to have to go and share the gospel personally with people all over the world. And they were also going to have to get there on foot. But through the events of Pentecost, God revealed to them that by his power, they could accomplish the very thing that he had called them to do. With his power, they could do something that would otherwise be impossible. Now, even though I've read and studied the book of Acts many times, I'm always amazed at how God worked in and through the people of the early church. And I'm amazed because even though, yes, I believe and I know that God can do anything, and even though I have seen God do some wonderful things throughout the years, many of the things that I read about in Acts are things that I have never seen or experienced before. In fact, I think they are foreign to pretty much all of us. You know, for example, we hear in Acts something very simple. We hear how Peter preached and literally thousands of people came to faith in Jesus through that one message. We read how Peter, on his way to the temple, healed a man who was lame. We hear how an angel came and miraculously freed Peter and John from prison when they were put there by the religious leaders. We hear how God spoke to a believer named Philip, telling him to go to a certain road. And when he got there, God told him to go to a certain man traveling along that road. And Philip was able to share the gospel with this man. He was able to baptize this man. But then, after he was finished doing this, the Spirit of God just took him away and he appeared in another place. He was transported by the Spirit of God to another location. And these things amaze us because our experience in the church today is much different than what we read about in the book of Acts. In our experience, we preach and few, if any at all, come to faith in the Lord. And in most cases, we see more people falling away than we see people coming to the Christian faith. So we watch the church shrink rather than grow. We pray for people, but rarely do we see something that we would describe as a miracle. Sometimes people do get better, especially after medical treatment. It's not an immediate healing like those we read about within the Word of God. Occasionally, we will hear the account of a miracle brought to us by a missionary or somebody like that, but they don't seem very common. Most of the time, when we pray for people, they still are overcome by their illness, and in many cases, they still die. In our experience, when somebody is put in jail, they stay in jail. And this is even true of believers in other parts of the world who may be jailed because of their faith, because of their testimony about Jesus. When they are put in jail, they remain in jail. We don't see an angel come and deliver them from their bondage. When we go somewhere to preach the gospel, we generally have to get ourselves home again, don't we? You know, whatever way we get there, whether we walk or drive or take the train or fly, we have to take that same means of transportation home. Even though it would be nice, I don't think any of us have simply been taken by the Spirit of God and transported miraculously to another city. or to another location. And because of this, there are some who they deny the accounts of the miracles of Scripture altogether. Based upon their experience and based upon their reason, they just can't believe that these things really happened, and so they try to explain it all away. They try to find a scientific explanation. They try to find a logical explanation for the things that happened, or they simply believe that it was all made up, that it was all conjured up by the early church in order to win converts. But we don't do that. At least I don't think most of us do. We don't deny that any of these things took place. We believe the accounts from the book of Acts because we believe that the Bible is true in all that it says. We believe that the Scripture is fully reliable in all that it tells us. However, the sad thing is that even though we believe the Bible is true, we don't really expect that God is going to work among us today. We don't expect that the power of God is going to accompany us as we try to fulfill the ministry that God has called us to accomplish. And as believers, as the church, we should fully expect God's power to work through us. We should expect it for several reasons. We should expect it, first of all, because, as Scripture tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what that means is that He is the same person. He is the same God. The God that worked through the church in the book of Acts is the same God that we serve and worship. And that God, He has the same power today that He had back in the times recorded in Scripture. So no matter how unlikely it may seem to us, there is no reason to believe that things will be any different in our day and age. We should also fully expect God's power to work through us because Jesus called His followers to do things that no ordinary person could do. And we see this, for example, as we look at our gospel lesson for this morning in Matthew chapter 10. And again, in Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus called His disciples together, and He gave them authority over evil spirits. And He gave this calling to them. He said, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." So Jesus gave His disciples the authority to do the miraculous. He gave them authority to do things that no ordinary person with his own strength could accomplish. He empowered them to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to heal lepers, to cast out demons. And then He told them to use this authority that He had given to them. Just as God had graciously given them His blessing, they were to use this blessing to go out and minister to other people. Now, how would you feel if you received that calling from God? How would you feel if Jesus told you, "Go out and not only proclaim the gospel, that's part of it, but I also want you to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out evil spirits"? We would feel pretty overwhelmed, wouldn't we? Because we know that this is something that we simply cannot do. We know that things like this are impossible. And we forget the fact that with God, anything can be accomplished. If God chooses to use us in this way, and if He calls us to serve Him in this way, then He is going to empower us to do the very things that He has called us to do. Because Jesus had given them the authority to do these things, the apostles had every reason to expect, as they went forth on this journey, that God was going to work through them. They had no reason to doubt. They had every reason to expect that God was going to do the miraculous through them. No matter how unrealistic these things may have seemed to their worldly minds and to their worldly logic, these things should have been anticipated by the apostles. In the same way, in Luke chapter 10, we see that Jesus sent out not only the 12, but He sent out 72 of His followers. He sent them out two by two to every town and area that He was about to visit. And we see that when they came back, they rejoiced and they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name." They were excited because God had worked mightily through them as they had fulfilled their calling, as they had gone forth and done what God called them to do. God had worked through them in miraculous ways. Now, I know that as we think about this, some of you may point out that in Matthew 10, this was a calling that Jesus gave to the 12 disciples. And what was experienced by the 72, again, that was a power that God gave to them. And because of this, you don't believe that God will work through us in that way. We don't see any indication that he gives that authority to the church in our time. And so you don't think that today we should expect such wonderful things to accomplish within the church. However, we see in Scripture that Jesus does give us this authority. In fact, Jesus said that we'll do even greater things than he did. In John 14, starting in verse 12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And as I read this, this is another statement that just completely blows my mind. And it amazes me because from the Gospels, I know what Jesus did when he walked the earth. He made the lame to walk. He opened the eyes of the blind. He loosened the tongue of the mute. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead in several instances. We consider these things miracles because these are not normal occurrences. These are things that are not normally experienced in our day-to-day lives. Yet Jesus says that we will do them. In fact, he says that greater things than these will be done by whoever believes in him. So if we have faith, if we believe in Jesus, we should expect that God is going to do these things through his church. We should expect that God is going to do even greater things than these through his church and through each one of us. We should fully expect God to work mightily through us. And I know this is difficult for most of us to accept. It's difficult to accept because, first of all, we are taught to think logically. And again, as we have heard, logically, these are things that people cannot do. And in our day and age, we are also taught to think scientifically. Again, everything has to be rational. And through science, we cannot explain how things like this could possibly take place. We don't even consider them because we know these things to be beyond our ability. If we're to do something, if it's something that we have the power to accomplish, then it's a different story completely. For example, we know that Jesus has called us to preach the gospel. And even though we often do a very poor job of this, it's a responsibility that we accept. And we accept this responsibility because we think this is something we can do. We think it's something that we have the power to accomplish. We think this because, after all, we have a voice. We can speak. We know we can do this because we have two legs. So, you know, most of us can easily travel to those around us to share with them. And we also believe this because we have people around us each and every day of our lives who haven't yet heard the gospel or who haven't yet placed their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so in our minds, this is something we can do. In our minds, this is something we can accomplish, even though it remains true that without the Spirit of God, we'll completely and utterly fail even at this job. However, these other jobs, we know them to be way beyond us. Most of us would never even attempt to do any of these miraculous things that Jesus did. We wouldn't have the boldness to go up to a lame man and get up and walk. We would never have the courage to do that because we believe we would fail. We wouldn't order an evil spirit to leave because we don't believe we have the power to do such a thing. We wouldn't go up to a dead person and tell them to get up because, again, we know that we don't have the power to accomplish such a thing. We don't expect that God is going to work through us and that he is going to empower us to do the miraculous. In fact, when we pray to God to do wonderful things, more often than not, we qualify our prayer. We pray for God to heal somebody if it be his will. And yes, you know, this does sound good and it is right. And of course, this is true. God is only going to heal somebody. He is only going to do the miraculous if it be his will. And we know this, and it's important that we recognize this truth. But I think so often we do this as an out. We do this because we don't want to feel stupid if God fails to do what we have asked him to do. We usually don't say this because we're acknowledging that God is only going to act according to his will, but because we doubt that God is truly going to act. And if you acknowledge that this is true of you, you probably think that you have very good reason to feel this way. I think most of us feel this way. After all, there are so many times that we have prayed, and what we have asked God to do, it didn't happen. God didn't answer, at least not in the way that we presented it to him. There are many times that we've asked him to accomplish something for us, and it just wasn't fulfilled. And so because of this, we find it hard to believe that God is going to work through us in our own life and in our own ministry. However, even if we haven't yet experienced it, we must believe that God can do this. We must believe that God can and will work through us. Remember the words of Jesus from Matthew 17:20, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now we tend to think that if God is going to work through us in great ways, that we need a mighty faith. We tend to think that we need a big faith if God is going to do big things through us. Yet Jesus shatters this belief in the words of this verse. A mustard seed, as most of you know, is a very small seed. And Jesus said, if you have faith like that, you will be able to do the impossible. We also tend to think of the apostles and the believers of biblical times as giants of faith, with faith much stronger than our own. But we also must keep in mind that these people who did such mighty things were sinners just like you and I. We remember Paul, who persecuted the church of Christ. And because of this, he referred to himself as the least of the apostles. He told us that he was the worst of sinners. You know, think of Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times out of fear. Yet in spite of their shortcomings, God used both of these men in great and miraculous ways. Just like the apostles, just like the people of the early church, God has given you and I a great calling. And just like the apostles, just like the early church, we are fully incapable of doing any of these things on our own, by our own strength and our own power. God doesn't expect us to do these things with our own strength and power. He knows that we are powerless. He knows that we are helpless. But he promises to give us all that we need so that we can accomplish the work that he has given us to do. The question for us today is this: do we really believe? Do we believe that with God's power we can do the impossible? And do we believe that God has called us to do the impossible? If so, then we should fully expect that God is going to work in this church today. He is going to work in grace. He is going to work through the people of grace to do amazing things. And we shouldn't be afraid to ask God to do amazing things, because through Christ all things are possible. Through faith in him, he says, there is nothing that we cannot do. And so as the church, we need to step out and do just that. We need to step out and fulfill Christ's calling. And this means proclaiming the gospel for certain, but it also means much more. It also includes healing the sick. It includes casting out evil spirits. It includes doing greater things than Jesus did. We have been called to do these things, and because of this, the Holy Spirit of God has empowered us to accomplish them. Amen.